Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. How are we feeling, friends? Are you harried? Are you hurried? Are you hopeful? Filled? Are you trying to do all the things and get all the places? How's this Monday going for you? Monday is going about how Monday could be expected for me. I think there was a song once that said something about Monday can't trust that day. Mondays are a little bit difficult to get up and get going, but we have Christmas coming, friends. It is coming so fast. And I've been talking about that this year. It seems like with Thanksgiving being late, all of the things are kind of stacked up and I found myself going from event to event. But I want you to know, I am really doing my best to practice the discipline of feeling the glory of saying no, just saying no, I'm not available, and really being intentional about picking and choosing what I want to spend my holiday time on. I have, before we get with today's guest, and I'm really excited to have Pastor Joseph Parker back with us, so you won't want to miss that. I do have one little exciting anecdote to share with you. For those of you who are regular listeners of the show, you might remember on June 26th, we had Bubba Miller on as a guest. Now, he is a professional rodeo coach. He pastors at a cowboy church. It was such a heartwarming conversation. I love talking with people from all over the country who do so many different things. And if you've ever wondered, what is it like to be at a cowboy church and what would that look like to do professional rodeo for a living? Well, you can go back, catch it on the podcast. You can find it on June 26th. But his son, Bradley, is a professional rodeo. He's a bareback rider, right? I'm asking my producer. Yes, Seth. He's a bareback rider. And if you're not familiar with rodeo, you can look up what that is online. Go look, follow the National Finals Rodeo. You can follow the Sam Houston State University Rodeo Team on Facebook. But Bradley's been competing this week in the National Finals Rodeo, and he has done really, really well. And in the show, that was one of the most touching parts of the show. I read a quote that Bradley had said about his dad, Bubba, and it made Bubba, this grizzled old cowboy, it brought him to tears. And it, what will bring you to tears is seeing Bradley give Bubba, the son, give his dad one of the buckles that he won already. He gave it and dedicated it to his dad. I love stories like that. Anytime, if you've got military coming home or any sort of reunion like that, I'm such a sap for all of that kind of stuff. But if you want to follow how Bradley's doing, you can look at Bradley Miller, tremendous young man of faith, competing in the National Finals Rodeo, Sam Houston State University Rodeo Team on Facebook. So just a fun little follow-up, something that we've been following. Today, we're going to continue to focus our hearts and our minds on the real meaning of Christmas. I know it seems cliche. I know we've talked about it quite a lot this season. I'm just letting you into my journey. I need this as much as you do, whether you admit it or not. And I'm so delighted to be joined again today by Pastor Joseph Parker. He hosts the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. You can catch his show where he prays for so many things in just such a beautiful way. And I know I have several people in my own social circle of my family who always say, who's that guy with the really pleasing voice that just makes me calm down? I'm like, that would be Pastor Joseph Parker. And he's here today to help us refocus our hearts and minds again on the real meaning of Christmas. We can't do it enough. Pastor Joseph, thank you so much for joining us today.
Honored to be with you today, Jessica, once again.
Well, why don't you just start by just giving us a little encouraging message? You're a pastor. Give us a little mini sermon here talking about the true meaning of Christmas and how it's so easy for us to get caught up in all of the activities that surround Christmas. But how do we begin to refocus our hearts and minds so that we can really enjoy Christmas as we should?
Well, you know, again, Jessica, thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you today. I really like to address this specific topic because it's such a beautiful part of both Christmas, but it helps us really focus on what Christmas is. Jesus, period. That's what Christmas is. And of course, one of the things we really try to do coming up to Advent and during the Advent and Christmas season, encourage people to read all the way through the Christmas narratives. Now, the reality is many adults have never done that during the Christmas season, much less children as well. But it's important to understand that reading through them helps you better understand the real meaning of the overall Christmas story. Again, it's all about Jesus. But at the same time, the fact is, every time you do it, you will learn things about Christmas that you didn't know. Now, sometimes people may think, well, I know the Christmas story. No, you don't. Neither do I. There's so much more the Holy Spirit wants to teach us about the true message of Christmas and Christ coming into the world. So Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2 carry what we would refer to as the traditional Christmas story. But again, it's tragic how many adults, much less children, have never taken the time during the Christmas season to read all the way through them. I believe every believer really should take time to do that. Actually, not just once or twice, but several times throughout the Christmas season. And it will bless your socks off. It really, really will.
Well, if Pastor Joseph Parker says he doesn't know everything about the Christmas story, then I certainly don't know everything about the Christmas story. But you know, Pastor Joseph, that's one of the beautiful things to me about Scripture. And I think that's why the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. I actually just read a news story about how sales of Bibles have increased astronomically in this last quarter of this year. People are looking for timeless words of hope, and you can read it so many times. And every time I read it, I learn something new. God reveals to me something different. I see something that I didn't see before. And when you're talking about the Christmas narratives, let's break that down and talk specifically what that means. People probably have heard the Christmas story. They know, and no, we're not talking about the movie. We're talking about the actual real Christmas story of Jesus coming to earth. But you're talking about stories of grace and salvation and peace and truth. So break that down for us a little bit more.
Well, you know, just like, for example, I'm just going to use an example. Just yesterday, I have the privilege of pastoring two different congregations, Ebenezer Church in Benton, Mississippi, and Bethlehem Church in Winona, Mississippi. During the service, I like to have children to come and read portions of Scripture, and specifically during this season, of course, the Christmas season. Having children read the Word of God is very, very, very important. And so having them read it during the Christmas service is very wise as well. And so, but part of what we're encouraging believers to do is to read all the way through them, because as you just alluded to, you know, we never get to the bottom of Scripture. You can take the Christmas passages and study them for 1,000 years every day, and you'll never get to the bottom, because there's more insight and wisdom. And we should never use the word trivia in relation to Scripture. There's nothing trivial in Scripture. There's insight that's practical to bless your life as you take it and put it to work in your life. So digging into it is important. And just taking the Christmas story by itself, there's not just nice things to learn about Christmas. There's all kinds of faith lessons for all of life found within the Christmas narratives as well. So Matthew chapter 1, it lays out, it begins with the genealogy of Christ. It's a reminder that God always keeps his promises. God let us know that he was going to send an eternal king to the world through the line of King David. And God lets us know God keeps his promise, and he shows how that happens in the genealogy. And then, of course, Joseph is actually in the kingly line, and he is the earthly father of the Lord Jesus. And, of course, Mary is in that genealogy as well, in that line. And so it tells of how that his wife comes up pregnant before the consummation of their marriage. And he initially is thinking in terms of quietly and graciously ending their marriage. But God steps into his dream and lets him know, you know, no, it's right for you to marry Mary. Go ahead and marry her. And Joseph does just that. In chapter 2, it tells of three more dreams Joseph had. God speaks to Joseph 4 times through dreams. The first 3 times it mentions an angel in his dream. The last dream it doesn't mention an angel. But God tells Joseph specifically what he's calling him to, what he's directing him to do. And each time Joseph listens and obeys. And of course, the wise men too, they too are introduced in chapter 2. And we learn that these wonderful servants of God, apparently from Persia, but had a wonderful relationship with God. They knew what the star meant. They were following the star. And the fact is, when they get there, they've come letting them know, we've learned that the Messiah has been born. Where is he supposed to be born? And of course, Herod's not real happy about that, and apparently Jerusalem either. And they go find the Christ. But what is tragic about that is nobody follows the wise men. It doesn't say a single person didn't, yet they were to have been looking for the Messiah for hundreds of years. So those are just the first two chapters of Matthew. And then in Luke, it tells much more detail about the pregnancies. And, you know, Luke, of course, is a doctor, and he includes details that maybe only mainly a doctor and mothers would understand about pregnancy. And two pregnant mothers who are expecting a baby, both under unique circumstances, they come together to fellowship in a wonderful way. And the Holy Spirit brings about a wonderful fellowship there. And, of course, it also tells the story of John the Baptist's parents as well. And then chapter 2 tells more of the details of the story and the angelic visit to the wise men. But just, I'm leaving out so much, Jessica. There's so much in that story that if we'll just take the time to read through it, there are many truths that the Holy Spirit can teach us and help us to see that, again, this is not just a nice story to study at Christmas. It has implications for our whole life and how we listen to God and follow God. So there's so much in those passages to take the time to read and meditate on.
Well, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. So in case you missed it, the Christmas narratives are found in Matthew's chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. That is four chapters of scripture. They're relatively easy to read. Maybe the genealogy might be a little hard to pronounce, but that is a very doable goal for your family to read them at least once, if not multiple times, many times over Christmas. I know, Pastor Joseph, we frequently read from Luke chapter 2, but you're doing such a service by reminding us about Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1, which gives so much context and richness to the Christmas story. And you have said this, you say this better than I can say it, more treasures can be found in the Christmas narratives than just the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are so many treasures, and there are treasures for families to find and exploring that together. So let's talk about some practical ways that families can do this. Yes, they can read those chapters, but you have some great ideas of how to make it fun.
Well, the second article that we were talking about is entitled A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. And I would mention, Jessica, I have about, I guess, half a dozen, six or seven articles that relate to Christmas I like to share with individuals, but all of them have to do with discipleship work or projects. But this was is entitled A Grandparent's Discipleship Project. And basically, it's a really fun project in it because, number one, a very important truth for believers to be mindful of is that the simple and but very important habit of reading the Word of God every day is an extremely productive and fruitful form of spiritual battling against the darkness. Just reading God's Word all by itself is so productive. It's such an impactful spiritual way of putting your spiritual weaponry to work. But on the other hand, it looks passive. But in reality, reading and meditating on Scripture is extremely productive. So when believers are wise enough to teach and train their children to read the Word of God daily, parents are doing one of the greatest spiritual services that they can do for their children, teaching and training them to read the Word. Well, specifically, though, grandparents can have an impact on their grandchildren in a very fun way during the Christmas season. For example, during the Christmas season, this is a project we're suggesting in that article, having the grandparents call their grandchildren, let them know they want them to do this following task with them. Call them up and encourage them for 9 days during the Christmas season to call them up each day and give them a specific, well, I'll pick up there on the other side there.
Okay, all right, that sounds good. Don't go away, grandparents, because Pastor Joseph always has really creative, fun ways to engage with your grandchildren, but with a great purpose of instilling in them a legacy, a spiritual heritage. And holidays are a great time to do that, and no other time than Christmas. And we'll talk about how you can do that in a special project that Pastor Joseph is recommending, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Now, isn't that better than just going and looking for the right toy in the store that they might like? You can impact their heart forever. Not just their eyes on Christmas, but their heart forever. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Pastor Joseph Parker. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Welcome back, friends. That is Joy by Elevation Rhythm. And we do have joy today. I have so much joy knowing that you are on the other end of the line here listening. You are seeking hope for Christmas, and we are here to deliver for you. Now, during the break, you might have been a little confused hearing my guest today, Pastor Joseph Parker, who is a pastor and host of the Hour of Intercession. He was just telling you about Psalm 91. So fun fact, I have met with Pastor Joseph and he has given me one of these cards. If you're watching online, I am holding it up for you here, Psalm 91. It is my bookmark for my Advent devotional that's right here on my desk. And Psalm 91:1, that is a great way to call 911 if you are ever in a spiritual emergency. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And so just to reiterate where you can get that resource, just email psalm91@afa.net. And you can also go to lifeway.com/joytotheworld and get access to a free downloadable Advent family guide. It's not too late to start. It doesn't matter that it started last week. You can catch up. Just progress is better and progress is good. And later on this week, we'll be also telling you about some Christmas buttons that you can get to share some holiday cheer. But today we are talking to Pastor Joseph Parker about the real meaning of Christmas. And before the break, he was sharing with us the Christmas narratives. Now that may be a new term to some of you. You all know the Christmas story. Most of you probably can say that it's in Luke chapter 2, but the Christmas narratives encompass two chapters in Matthew, one and two, and two chapters in Luke 1 and 2. And before the break, Pastor Joseph was just about to tell us about a grandparents' Christmas discipleship project involving the Christmas narrative. So Pastor Joseph, I'm going to give it back to you right there.
Okay. Thank you, Jessica. And of course, narrative is just a fancy word for stories, you know, of course. And, here in this plan that I lay out, keep in mind, every granddad and grandmom listen, remember, you can adjust the details however you wish or need to, so it's obviously not hard and fast, but here's a reading plan that you can email or text to your grandchild. Now, this is, again, for children that are 8 years or older, this is a suggested one, and we invite you to kind of adjust it somewhat, obviously, for younger children. But on day one, read Matthew chapter 1. Day 2, Matthew chapter 2. Day 3, Luke 1 to 20. Day 4, Luke 1, 21 to 37. Day 5, Luke 1, 38 to 56. Day 6, Luke 1, 57 to 80. Day 7, Luke 2, 1 to 20. And the next day, Luke 2, 21 to 38. And the last day, Luke 2, 39 to 52. Now, of course, obviously, you want to email us and get the article because you probably didn't write quite that fast. But a reading plan that covers all of them in a 9-day period. So what you're doing, granddad or grandma, I'm going to having them to call you up each of those 9 days and read that passage for you. And granddad and grandmom, your commitment is you're going to send them $1, $5, whatever figure you prayerfully come up with to give to each of your grandchildren. Now, keep in mind, sometimes younger children may be glad to do it for granddad and grandma, but sometimes teenagers might be a little bit more hesitant to do it. So sometimes the money has a strange way of suddenly helping them to become highly motivated to read for you. So, but come up with something that works for you. And my encouragement is that you mail them 9 separate checks. Now, you might say, well, it'd be a lot easier just to send one, right? Well, yeah. But now keep in mind, just picture this happening with your grandchild. Maybe one of your grandchildren saying, Mom, did the mail come yet? Grandmother's sending me some more money today for reading about Christmas 9 times. Or a grandchild saying, here's my money from granddad. He must really think reading about Jesus and Christmas is important. And, of course, this is making an impact on your grandchild because they're associating the Word of God with granddad or grandma, and they're realizing granddad and grandma thinks it's so important to read the Bible, they're going to pay me for it. But the fact is, with many a grandchild, they have no one else in their life that's encouraging them to read the Word of God. Now, that's tragic, but we live in a world where lots of kids, they have cell phones and they watch TV, but nobody is encouraging them to read the Word of God on a daily basis. So, grandparents, it can literally be a life-changing, make a life-changing impact on them for you to take on a project like that.
Well, I love that connection through tradition because family traditions are really such a special part of Christmas. And some of those family traditions are baking cookies or decorating the tree. But what if this year families listening took your challenge, Pastor Joseph, and started a new tradition of reading the Christmas stories, reading the Christmas narrative, reading Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. That is a really simple but powerful way to keep Christ at the center of your family celebration. You know, when we're looking, I was thinking the other day, Pastor Joseph, we had a guest on who was talking about clutter in our lives and how we're constantly marketed to. We're constantly told we need the newest gadget. We need the latest and greatest thing. Oh, that decorating trend is out this year. Do this decorating trend. And those things just come and go and they change and they're really not very meaningful in the end. Like, do you really remember if it was a pop-up tree or a tree that, you know, folds on a stand or whatever, you know, the latest trend is? Christmas is about so much more than that. And I think sometimes in our spiritual lives, Pastor Joseph, we're wanting that kind of instant fix. Or we think, oh, well, we just go to church, you know, and that's where we read the Christmas story. But integrating those narratives of faith and making those your priority traditions, not just something, how do we fit our faith traditions into what we're doing, but how do we make them the center of what we're doing? What other guidance and wisdom would you have to share for families who just feel that pull of the hustle and bustle of Christmas? And how do you make it a priority to be intentional about discipling your children through the Christmas season?
Well, you know, Jessica, again, I guess I would say one thing that I think is a very wise thing for us to understand is that you can't talk too much about Jesus. Now, the fact is, sadly, we live in a world where even in church circles, sometimes we're almost apologetic about reading longer passages. That should never be true. But even like, for example, say you have a child that is not reading yet. And this can be obviously for a grandparent or even a parent. But just having them to repeat a short passage every day during December and giving them some sort of prize or award for it, that child is going to realize, I get blessed every time I share scripture, every time I recite scripture. Now, again, the point is this. God's word is the most powerful weapon in the universe. God's word is Jesus. And so when a child is reading or reciting the word of God, they're interacting with Jesus, whether we understand that or not. There's grace and power and anointing in and upon the Word of God. There's nothing our children need more than the Word of God. So having them to go through Scripture related to the Christmas story every day during the month of December is just wise parenting. You can't give them too much of Jesus. And so being very intentional and committed to doing that is important. Now, and again, even if you have them go over the same passages rather than going all the way through the narratives, that's productive because it's still the Word of God.
You know, you just said something that really made me think about we're almost apologetic about reading longer passages. Mm-hmm. You are so right, because even how kids are being acculturated to communicate, they're communicating in 90-second reels on social media. They want little blurbs. They want visual images, and it is harder. There are very few kids. I mean, when I was growing up, it was pretty normal to be a bookworm. I was a reading kind of girl. I always had my nose in a book somewhere. So reading something longer was something that was enjoyable to me. But for a lot of kids, we just see reading on the decline, where kids are not wanting to do that. And so this supersedes Christmas, just reading the Christmas narratives, but just reading the Bible in general. And you and I have had so many conversations about how essential that is for family life, that firm foundation of timeless truths that will not change. And so even going past Christmas, we're looking to the new year, where families will often set goals or resolutions. What wisdom do you have? How have you done that? I know you've shared it even with your own family, and making reading longer passages of scripture just a normal part of your faith walk and your spiritual disciplines.
Well, you know, I think it's helpful for us to understand that in spite of the trends, whether they're just trends in society or even trends that tend to kind of get incorporated into our being, such as, you know, short attention span and that sort of thing, it's important to understand that there's certain things that should be kind of non-negotiables. Just decide, I'm going to push to read a certain amount. And the reason I say it that way is because the fact is, many times we form habits around things that are important to us. And we don't necessarily do it because we feel like it. We do it because we know it's important. Just like, for example, there are many people, they don't like their jobs, but they get up and go 5 days a week. Why? Because they know they need their job. It's important. And the fact is, too, it's critical to understand that God's word is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When we're spending time in the Word of God, Jesus is spending time with us. He's pouring grace, peace, love, joy, and encouragement into our mind, our heart. We need that. We need that. Again, the Word of God is the most powerful weapon in the universe. And the fact is, we live in a world where many a young person, just very recently, I was on a prayer call, and the people were talking about how much kids are struggling today. Kids deal with bullying. They deal with dealing with pornography. They deal with all sorts of things, many of which are made available through having a cell phone or the internet, video games that are toxic in terms of their impact on the child's life. And I've never heard of so many elementary children committing suicide as you hear of today. Mm-hmm. God's word is pure light. There's nothing better for our children's mind, body, and spirit. Nothing ministers their mind, body, and spirit like the Word of God. So the fact is, if we just decide, I'm going to make it my business to help my child fill up on the Word of God every day, I'm going to come up with incentives, I'm going to pray for them, encourage them, praise them, come up with ways to make it happen, because the reality is, they desperately need to have the Word of God planted in their lives. So parents prayerfully coming up with more deliberate ways to help fill their child's life with the Word of God, because it's not just a nice thing to do. Many times their lives will depend on it.
And for the first time, I think, in parenting history, we have such competition for those messages, Pastor Joseph. It used to be, when kids were growing up, that we were designed to live in community, in local community. So they may encounter their teachers or their Sunday school teachers or their coaches for community sports or things like that. But now, with screen saturation and how much content is uploaded every single day, and I'm telling you, I really have been thinking so much about our previous guests talk about us being marketed to at every moment. And those messages of marketing tell us that you don't have enough, you need more, you need this in your life to be really happy. If you had this, you'd be really happy. It's just constant messages of discontentment and distraction. And you used a phrase in the article that you wrote that I really loved. You talked about how we, as just everyday people, we use mass weapons of distraction. And that is so true. I think that technology is the thief of time. It is taking away our time from our family. We're so mindless in the way that we use technology. We just get on it because we have a free moment. We don't think about some of these intentional disciplines. And we are living as a distracted society, and our kids are paying the price for that. So tell me more about that phrase that you came up with and what was on your heart.
Well, you know, the fact is that it brings to my mind just the wonderful short little instance in the life of Christ where he goes to visit with Mary and Martha, the two sisters, and he comes to visit their home, and Martha's there probably cooking, cleaning, that sort of thing, doing all the things you do with a house full of guests. But Martha is in the room, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him. Well, in our society, most people reading that without kind of a commentary of scripture might think, what's wrong with Mary? She needs to get up and help her sister. And that's what Martha thinks. She's so upset. She kind of yells at Jesus. And I guess she's thinking, I better not talk to Mary. I might want to hurt her. She's sitting there not coming to help me. But then she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister isn't helping me? Tell her to help. And Jesus and the scripture refer to Martha as being distracted. Not Mary, but Martha. Mary has decided to make her high priority sitting and listening to Jesus. And that's a powerful discipleship lesson for every believer in the whole wide world. One of the high priorities of our life, no matter what else is going on, is spending time listening to and communing with our Heavenly Father. And so the fact is, like Martha, who was doing nice things, but she was distracted from the priority of her relationship and walk with Christ in that instance. And certainly it's not a passage that lays out a theology for not cleaning up and not cooking, but it's laying out the importance of what our priorities are. Our high priority as believers is our relationship and our walk with Christ. And so there's such a big need for us as believers to really understand that no matter how many distractions we have in life, we can't afford to neglect spending time with Christ, which again is spending time in the Word of God.
Well, you also said something that really caught my attention. You said we form habits around the things that are important to us. And I think all of us, if we were asked about our habits, we would give ourselves a much more positive reflection than maybe reality would be. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of those really important foundational habits that we'll be talking about again in January that are building blocks for healthy families. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Joseph talking more about the real meaning of Christmas, about intentionally building a legacy of faith and discipling your kids and grandkids through Christmas. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Good news for us all. Hallelujah, the King.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Born in Bethlehem by Third Day. And what you were hearing was a little bit of the Christmas story. We've been talking today to Pastor Joseph Parker, host of the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. I always appreciate speaking with Pastor Parker. It's a good reframing of my heart and mind and good reminders of the simple truths of God's Word. And he has encouraged you, challenged you even, as parents, as grandparents, to read through the Christmas narratives this holiday season. That would be Matthew's chapters 1 and 2, and that would be Luke chapters 1 and 2. And you can find the story of Christmas in there, and he's given some really creative ways. And before the break, he was talking about, he said something, I actually wrote it down. It says, we form habits around the things that are important to us. And let me tell you, friend, the greatest indicator of your values, of the things that are important to you, are going to be found in your credit card statement and in your calendar, where you spend your money and where you spend your time. But some of the habits that we need to have for healthy families, there are no magic cures. There are no instant fixes. These are just simple spiritual disciplines that have been given to us from the beginning of time by God, who gives us his word as good and helps us to give, gives us a guideline for living that blesses us. And Pastor Joseph, in the new year, we'll be starting over our journey of 52 Habits for Healthy Families. And week one, right out of the gate, we did this last year. It is not changing for this year. The most important habit that your family could adopt is prayer, is asking God for his wisdom, asking God for his help. And Pastor Joseph, I know you have a great suggestion on a way to incorporate prayer into even your holiday gift giving. So tell us about that.
Well, you know, I think it's powerful to note that, you know, God's word and as it relates to the Christmas story is beautiful story, powerful story, but it's tremendous life faith lessons for us as well. One of the powerful messages of the whole Christmas story is be a giver. Jesus came on his birthday and he gave the world the greatest gift it could ever receive, himself as our Lord and Savior. So he came on his birthday, not so much receiving, but giving. And he brought the best that he had. He brought himself. Well, the fact is, though, in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men come, and they come, but also some powerful truths to understand about the wise men was apparently they both knew God and had spent time with God, because apparently they were listening to God as a major part of what they were doing. They knew what the star meant. Lots of people could see the star, but because they knew and were listening to God, they knew what the star meant, that it was pointing to the Messiah. But also they came with gifts, and apparently they were very prayerful about the gifts that they gave as well. Because they didn't just bring, number one, they weren't little cheap gifts. You know, they didn't decide when they got to Bethlehem, let's find the Dollar Tree and bring a little something to bring the king. They brought expensive gifts, but apparently the Spirit of God had told them what to give, because they were prophetic gifts as well. Gold, of course, the gift you would give to a king. Frankincense, the gift you would give to a high priest. And myrrh, the gift you would give to someone for their burial. So they were prophetic gifts, which to this day is still telling the world who Jesus is. We're wise in our gift giving to always pray, Lord, show me what to give this person, because the Holy Spirit will typically put something on your heart, something that will have meaning beyond just a nice gift to give that person. You know, sometimes in the midst of the wonderful ministry called Operation Christmas Child, we hear people as they prayed over the gifts they put in the box, and many a child opened the box to find something they had prayed or asked God for. Well, see, the Holy Spirit's great at doing that. Our job is to pray. And also, along with praying about the giving of gifts, it's wise to put gospel tracts in gifts, because many times a person's heart is a little bit more open than it would be, if not greatly much more open than it would be during a time of receiving a gift. And so to receive a gospel tract along with that many times may very well be the seed God uses to bring that person into the kingdom of God. So we're wise, even in the giving of gifts, to be prayerful and evangelism and discipleship-minded when we do that.
What a great simple habit, because I think about, you know, especially as a mom, I'm usually in charge of the gift buying in our house, and I think about the thought that goes into it, and I may order something online, or I may go to the store, I may purchase something, so I'm handling that package at that time, and then I have to wrap it, and then I put it under the tree, and then I get it to go put it in the car to go to whatever family thing that we're going to, or to send it to someone that they're there. There's so many touch points, that opportunity for prayer in that time when we're doing that. And I think that's just such a great way to incorporate a simple habit into something that you're already doing. So maybe you're just thinking nothing when you're picking up that package and putting it under the tree. But what if you just made it a simple habit that every time you picked up a gift, you prayed for the person that was going to receive it and prayed that it would be a message of hope to them somehow? It's such a great way to share the hope and the light of Christ. Now, this wasn't at Christmas, Pastor Joseph, but I remember my husband sharing the message of the gospel with his father in a letter. And that he didn't say anything about that actually for quite a while after that, but until he came to a difficult point in his life and pulled that letter out of his wallet. And it was so worn on the edges where it was folded. You could tell he had gotten it out many times, unfolded it, looked at it, and it had been a message of hope for him. So you never know what those fruits are going to be. Just like you said, we're just called to be obedient. And you mentioned Operation Christmas Child. Well, Pastor Joseph, we had Livia Young on, who was a recipient of an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift, and she prayed for something as simple as hair barrettes. And God used hair barrettes. He put it on someone's heart to give those, and a friendship necklace that she spontaneously, if you missed it, go back and listen to it. But what happened was she opened up this gift and she saw a friendship necklace in there. It was two best friends' necklaces, really simple, plastic with yarn. And she was compelled out of the generosity of her heart to give one of those necklaces back to who had given her the package. And that woman was so moved by that touch of generosity that fast forward to 5 years later, that woman, Connie, adopted Livia and she became her daughter. So those Praise kinds God. Of things can happen. So let's talk a little bit more about prayer as an underutilized resource that we have in our family's health and protection.
You know, I think we're every one of us individually and as families were wise to pray and ask God to anoint and bless and prosper our prayer lives, because the fact is, in a sense, you could say that prayer is a currency of the kingdom, whereby, you know, in the natural, if you try to manufacture your own money, you can get a free room and board in your local penitentiary. Can't do that. But when it comes to prayer, God says pray without ceasing. In other words, spiritually, make yourself rich. God wants us to pray, and the fact is you can't pray too much. On any given day, if you pray more, typically God will do more for you, because God is always looking for opportunities to respond to the prayers of his people. So we're wise to pray individually. We're wise to pray as couples together every day. We're wise to pray daily as families. Parents should pray over their children every single day. We should teach and train and model before our children the life of prayer, because there's so much God will do through our prayer lives. So asking God to bless our prayer lives is a very wise thing, a wise way to begin the new year for each of us.
Well, you know, Pastor Joseph, I hear from a lot of our listeners, they love to hear you pray. It is just such a natural expression of your relationship with the Lord. You incorporate scripture so seamlessly, but I'm sure that you didn't start there. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you were one of these two-year-old preachers who would have been a social media sensation in your day. How and when and where did you start to learn to pray in the way that you pray today?
Well, you know, I think for myself, but I think this would be true for most people. You start simple and you just grow and keep praying about more and more aspects of your life, because the fact is we need to pray. One of the very impactful things I recall is, as a child, when I was 11 years old, my dad, who was in the service, got orders to go to Vietnam. And I had a friend who his dad had gone and had stepped on a landmine. His dad was gone just instantly. Well, immediately I began to pray, Lord, don't let my daddy have to go to Vietnam. And we prayed over a period of time. And I know in the Army, you know, when you get orders, I mean, you do what you're told. He had already put in for retirement, but they were superseding his orders to send him to Vietnam. Well, the fact is, a few months after we started praying, they got a phone call from Washington, D.C., and what I don't know what all they said, but they said, you can go on retire. You don't have to go. Well, God answered the prayers of an 11-year-old. And the fact is, I'd learned many other bigger lessons beyond that, but that was a huge lesson for me as a child. We serve a God who not only is he bigger than the government, he's bigger than anything else in the world.
And what practical strategies would you recommend for families? There are families I know who think, you know, we really don't pray out loud at home together. I mean, maybe we say grace before a meal, but we're just not in the practice of doing that. And honestly, for a lot of families, I know that can just feel really awkward because when you first start doing it, you know, your kids can say, what's going on? But, you know, I'll tell you a quick story about this and then I'd love to hear your wisdom. But I was teaching a parenting class right before COVID. And I had one of my former nursing students who came to the class, and she had two little boys. And she was expecting, coming to the parenting class, that I was going to talk about timeouts and, you know, discipline and snacks and healthy snacks and things like that, which we did talk about that a little bit. But the more important things, the first thing I started with was praying for your kids, reading scripture to your kids. And she told me she felt so uncomfortable and so awkward and just starting to do it out of nowhere. But she did it for the first night. She did it for the second night. And the third night she was thinking, I don't really know. Like, am I going to do this or am I not? And she said her little boy came to her with her Bible and said, Mommy, it's time for Bible time and prayer time. He had already picked it up in just that 2 days, had gotten peace and comfort from it, and he had seen it as a comforting routine, and he was just adopting it that quickly. So I think if parents can just push through and just say, look, I know this may feel new or different, but we are going to do it together. What would you say to those families who are not in the practice of praying out loud together?
Well, you know, Jessica, a great starting place is simply praying prayers that draw straight from Scripture, praying the Lord's Prayer, praying the prayer of Jabez, praying the Ten Commandments, praying a prayer based on Psalm 91. Those are just good starting places, but they're wonderful and powerful prayers as well. But at the same time, understanding prayer is conversation with God. And even Scripture itself, whether people fully grasp this or not, The whole Bible is a book of prayer. We're talking, it's heavy on the listening, but you know, prayer is both talking to God and listening to God. So reading Scripture is a form of prayer as well, but praying Scripture back to God is a wise thing to do. So starting with the Word of God and the specific prayers you find in Scripture is a great place to start.
It is a great place to start because those words are just better than any words that we could come up with on our own. And, you know, Pastor Joseph, my husband and I have made a lot of parenting mistakes, but having our kids pray regularly and out loud is one of the greatest blessings, I think, that we have ever enjoyed as parents. Because even when my kids were little, they would see me be frustrated and I would just ask them, pray for mommy. And they would pray for me just out of the sincerity of their heart, you know, or, okay, pray for daddy. He's having a bad day. Pray for him. And they just pray spontaneously out loud. And it was surprisingly easy to make that such a normal part of our family culture. And now we've seen the fruits of that, where I remember not too long ago, we were at my son and I, who was a teenager, we were visiting an elderly couple who were shut in, and they were just so glad to see someone young. And I had no hesitation asking him, hey, would you just pray for this couple here? And he did. And it was such a blessing to see that conversation and outward expression with God. Well, as we close our time together, Pastor Joseph, I'd just love to ask you to pray for us, pray for our audience, that they would use this Christmas to glorify God and that they'd be inspired to read the Christmas story with their family.
Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be able to read the Christmas narratives and any and every other passage found in your wonderful word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to live lives where we're more and more learning to pray your word. Father, anoint the prayer life of every single listener with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Bless each and every one of our prayer lives. Indeed, expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon us. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. Set us on fire with the spirit of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And you know, here's an idea for those of you looking for a Christmas gift for a baby. A great thing to do is just get a little simple photo album. You can go to the dollar store and just put pictures of your family and teach your babies even to pray for that person that is on the pictures. Pray for grandma, pray for grandpa, pray for mommy, pray for sister, pray for cousin. It's a great way to incorporate prayer into your everyday life and praying for your family. I pray I sincerely pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And listen, we'll see you right back here tomorrow with more hope and encouragement for healthy families. We'll get through this holiday season together. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.